point. This is a public hearing on a request to vacate what has been billed as portions of South 23rd Street and South Cushman Avenue with an intention of curing existing building encroachments. That area is legally and otherwise described and depicted in the city's preliminary report that was received in the hearing examiner's office on February 2nd, 2023 as a proposed exhibit to today's hearing.
Recording in progress.
Need to get the recording underway. So there we go. You had the audio going though, right? From the time I started talking, not for Zoom, but the other, so I'm not going to repeat what I just said. So today is February 16, 2023. We are convening on the record just after 9 o'clock. 9 a.m. was our notice start time, with the location noticed as being in the city council chambers on the first floor of the Tacoma Municipal Building, 747 Market Street, but also with participation over Zoom, which is what everybody's doing except myself and my hearing clerk. We are present in council chambers today. And it's certainly fine that all of you are participating by Zoom because that's all right. That's how we're doing things these days, but the hybrid setup continues to be a challenge technologically for us getting set up the way we need to be. But we seem to be there today, so that's great. My name is Jeff Capel. I'm the City of Tacoma's hearing examiner. And in case you didn't catch that there a minute ago when I hit the record button, these proceedings are recorded. When we have Zoom engaged and all fired up, we record through Zoom, but we also record through digital audio with the recorders that are here in council chambers. And we've been doing that since before the pandemic. We do it always because we need to have that recording in order to make a transcript of the proceedings in the event that there is a higher review of the ultimate decision on the street vacation with the courts. So if you have a problem being recorded, I guess you'll either get over it or you'll leave the hearing because we have to record by law. So just so you know that. Let me briefly describe the process that we're going to go through today in terms of agenda, and then we'll take appearances from the parties. So in a street vacation hearing such as this, it is a public hearing in all senses, meaning that it's open to the public, and the public can attend either through Zoom or they could show up here in council chambers and sit in. But it's public also in the sense that we have a portion of the hearing that is set aside for public testimony. Members of the public who are interested in voicing their opinions or facts or whatever about the proposed street vacation can come in and offer testimony on it. But that does not happen until we've had the presentation from the parties. And the parties are the City of Tacoma, because the City of Tacoma is the corporate municipal corporation entity that holds the right-of-way interest that the petitioner, the other party, is seeking to have vacated. And per hearing examiner rule, which is different than a lot of other hearing examiner proceedings, the city, even though the city doesn't bear the burden of proof in the proceeding, goes first. And the city makes a presentation about what it did in receiving the petition, in reviewing the petition, and typically makes its opinion known from the staff level as to whether it thinks this particular petition meets the requirements or not. Well, let me go ahead and take appearances then so we can talk about how many witnesses we're going to have and things too. Since the city gets to go first, we'll go with the city first. Who do we have representing the city here today? Mr. Stevens, if you would unmute, please. I think you're muted right now. Actually, you're not showing muted, but you're not coming through. Yeah, see, here's where the problem comes. If I don't have the audio on the laptop, nobody's going to come through out there. So I was telling him the wrong thing. Oh, boy. If we weren't on the record, I'd probably offer a few choice words that I learned growing up around cows in Idaho. But I'm not going to. Hang on just a moment. I've got to turn back on the audio on my laptop, and and that's probably going to mean we're going to get some gnarly feedback, so hang on for just a moment. And of course, you know, we discover all this right after right after our tech guy has left the room, so hang on for just a moment.
Recording in progress.
Yes, I know.
Construction
that.
Almost beat me yet, so we got this set up so it wouldn't stop CFO.
All right, let's go.
Can you still hear me out on Zoom land? Apparently not.
Mm-hmm. These things really do take 10 to 12 clicks. Just the way it is.
It's,
should I hit?
Someone in my seat, it's hard to imagine how it could possibly take so long, but I know it does, so.
It's all the statutory requirements, so we have to follow the process.
Yeah, I gotta go back into control panel.
It's a little bit quicker.
And turn all this stuff back on that I turned off.
Should I try to
hit the
audio
and
then
it grows back in the meeting?
I'm not sure what's gonna happen. You've been having trouble and the examiner's been doing a great job of trying to get this fixed, but it's just...
Hey, don't butter me up, man. It's not going to get you anywhere.
I can go downstairs if it helps.
Nope.
I don't know.
Unless you're an IT specialist, I don't know.
Would it help if I unmute the iPad?
If he can't hear me, he probably can't hear you either.
No, I can hear you, but you have no way of knowing that because...
Yeah.
You can't hear me. Well, I'm going to plug this back in and see if that gets us back in with audio somehow, because this is just ridiculous. See if I can turn that on in Zoom or Zoom. There's Zoom. Come here, Zoom. All right, can you hear me out in Zoom land now?
Can't hear me.
Would one of Mr. Stevens, would you try talking to see if we can still hear you? I'm gonna kick the council chambers out of the meeting and just let's just go full Zoom here.
Okay.
Let's see. Remove, there we go. Remove unlicensed room. Oh, I don't need to report you. Okay, now let me bring my video over here. For your patience. We had a notice start time of 9 a.m. It's now about 9:17 from screwing around with all the technology stuff. I don't know why we're still in council chambers at this point. There's nobody here. And the council chambers, trying to connect that through Zoom, always just messes everything up. We never have this when I'm running this from my home setup. We don't have this problem. And I have two big giant screens up in front of me that are my own, not paid for by the city, where I get much better visual and better control of the exhibits and all of that fun stuff. But as I was saying, since the COVID restrictions have been lifted on in-person meetings, we have to have an in-person component to all of this. And that's why we're in council chambers, continuing to struggle with the technology and continuing to test my ability not to swear on the recording. So anyway, I think we're good now. As I said, it's February 16, 2023. We are past the notice starting time. We are present in council chambers, but everyone else is on Zoom, and that seems to work better for these kind of things anyway. So here we are. As I said, in a proceeding like this, the petitioner bears the burden of proof by what's called a preponderance of the evidence to show that the required factors or criteria for allowing a street vacation have been met. But Unlike most proceedings where the party that bears the burden of proof gets to go first and last, the city does go first by hearing examiner rule and makes its presentation. Mr. Stevens, go ahead and unmute your mic here and leave it unmuted. We're not getting feedback on this end. I hope you're not on your end. Since we don't have the council chambers in here anymore, I would imagine that's not going to be a problem. Knock on wood. Mr. Stevens, do you have anyone else besides yourself here to present for the city today? Any other witnesses?
I don't, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Are you planning on making a separate opening statement, or are we going to go straight into testimony?
We're going to go straight into testimony.
All right. So all testimony from parties will be given under oath, so I will swear you in beforehand. Penalty of perjury, all that good stuff. Once Mr. Stevens has made his presentation, whoever is the chief representative for the petitioner today, that person will be allowed to cross-examine Mr. Stevens as the city's sole witness. That's not the time to make statements. It's not the time to disagree with anything that he said. It is the time to ask him questions. So, you know, pretend you're on Jeopardy. Everything must be in the form of a question. You have to ask him questions at that point. You don't have to cross-examine him. If you don't have questions for Mr. Stevens, you can waive that. And any portion of what I'm describing today, for the most part, can be waived if a party decides that you don't necessarily have to do that. But Mr. Stevens will make his presentation. There will be cross-examination if there is any. After the cross-examination, if there are things that come up in cross-examination that Mr. Stevens feels like he needs to address a little bit more, he can offer some redirect testimony. When he is done, then we will move to the petitioner's presentation. And I will note that the petitioner is entitled to rely on any evidence that's presented in the hearing, whether that's from the city or from elsewhere, in order to meet its burden of proof by preponderance of the evidence. Preponderance of the evidence is one of the lowest standards in the law. It basically means that you have to show by, you know, whatever just tips the scale slightly, more likely than not standard, that you have met the criteria. And so it's not a terribly high standard, and the petitioner's entitled to rely on evidence that the city presents as well. If we have public commenters and they offer testimony, that's all part of the record and it's all part of that mix in meeting the burden of proof. So we move to the petitioner's presentation. Who is the primary representative for the petitioner here today? All right, and I will note for just the audio record that we have Sean McNaughton here apparently present, because that's what the screen name is showing. The corporate entity petitioner, I looked it up on Secretary of State, and the only person who's listed as a governor, it used to list, you know, president, vice president, all those kinds of things, so you knew who the officers were. Now everybody's just a governor. You know, we've gone sort of Cockney English, and we call everybody governor. So I presume that governors have decision-making, well, governors do have decision-making authority per the Secretary of State, and Sean McNaughton is the only one listed as a governor for the petitioner entity. So I presume, Mr. McNaughton, you've given Mr. Ferguson the representational authority here today, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Does the petitioner have any other witnesses that's going to want to offer besides you, Mr. Ferguson, maybe presenting?
No, we believe that the city and the owner are in agreement, so I don't see that there's a big, that there's a lot of things to argue.
All right, and that's often the case in street vacation hearings, not always, but it's, you know, it's certainly fine when people can agree. I don't have a problem with that. So, there is still no one, well, I don't know. Actually, maybe we have people here in Zoom land who are
Lady
wanting
Johnson
to testify.
Is, she's on the Ferguson architecture team. She's the project architect for the project.
All right.
The person who has day-to-day knowledge. So if you ask something that's a hard question, it's probably going to be Megan answering it for us.
Okay, well, if that's the case and we need to do that, I'll swear her in and she can testify. And I don't see anybody else in Zoom land who's not affiliated with the petitioner at this point. So I'm guessing still that we don't have members of the public here to testify. And that's, you know, that's not unheard of in a street vacation petition. We've had a few recently where there are a whole bunch of people waiting to testify, but this isn't one of those. So I will note that, and Mr. Stevens knows this, well, we'll address exhibits first. So after the city has made its presentation, cross-examination, the petitioner makes its presentation, then we would move to the public testimony portion, if there's anybody here to do that, when we get to that point. I will note that, well, let's talk about exhibits. Hang on. Prior to today's hearing, screen now, and I've only got one, so I feel like I'm working with a hand tied behind my back. Prior to the hearing, the city admitted proposed exhibits that have been marked now C1 through C15, C for city. And Mr. Ferguson, I presume that the petitioner has a copy of those proposed exhibits from the city?
Yeah, we had a little mix up when we were getting the wrong ones, so I don't have the. I'm having trouble finding the latest ones. We got some
we
property
them.
Ones.
We do have them. I can forward them to
okay.
you.
Okay, please do. Okay.
All right, so here's the tough question, though. When Mr. Ferguson doesn't have the correct set in front of him. I normally ask before we get going with presentations whether the other side has any objections to the proposed exhibits coming in and being made part of the record. Are you able to do that, Mr. Ferguson?
Yeah, we don't object to the documents. I know that our needs.
Okay, so Mr. Stevens, you have a motion for me?
I do, Mr. Examiner. I move that city's exhibits C1 through C15 be admitted into the record.
And with no objection from the petitioner, that motion be granted. The city's exhibits C1 through C15 are admitted, made part of the record, and both sides can refer to them freely throughout the course of the proceeding today. If we're at a point where either side wants any of those exhibits being put on the screen so that all can see them, let me know that and I will share a screen and put the requested exhibit on the screen. I don't have any exhibits that were proposed from the petitioner. Is that correct that the petitioner did not submit any?
No.
Okay. And oftentimes a lot of what the city submits is things that have been submitted to the city as part of the review process anyway, but I don't know whether that's the case in this one or not. I have reviewed the city's exhibits prior to the hearing, so I am familiar with them. I will note now, before the last thing I have before we start presentations, is with the city's C1 through C15 being admitted and made part of the record, they are part of the record. They don't need to be read in here verbally in order to be part of the record and be part of what I consider on the way to making my recommendation with the City Council. When we have members of the public who are here, it's beneficial oftentimes for that information to kind of be presented here too, to inform the people who are here who are interested and are possibly going to testify. But with nobody here, all that does is make the hearing longer than it's already been with all of our technological struggles and things. So, take that into account, I guess. Are there any other questions or procedural matters from the parties before we move into presentations? Anything from the
city?
Okay, nothing from the city, anything from the petitioner?
Nothing from us.
All right, so with that said, we're ready to move into presentations. Mr. Stevens, should I just go ahead and swear you in then?
Yes, please.
All right, if you'd raise your right hand on the screen. You swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give as part of this hearing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury.
I do.
Go ahead.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Examiner. The city is prepared to make an oral presentation for the audio record this morning, which will restate information contained in its previously submitted preliminary report and supporting exhibits. We have no additional facts or information to present today, and the only people in attendance are the parties to this. The petitioner was served a copy of the preliminary report and its exhibits via email on February 2nd, 2023. The city will forego making a presentation today. I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. And see, that's where that part about me explaining that if it's in the record through the exhibits, it's in the record and doesn't need to be restated, comes in. So I, Mr. Stevens, I'm not going to torture you or any of us by making you restate things that are already in the record through the exhibits. I think, have a couple of questions, though. So bear with me for just a second as I find those where I've flagged them in the record. course, even that, the PDF won't scroll right for me this morning because that just seems to be the order of the day. Let's see. Oh, okay, I remember what the question was. So I'm going to go ahead and share screen here. So we're all looking at the same thing, presumably. Share screen might not work this morning either. Who knows? Are we seeing page 5 of 6, the bottom of page 5 of 6 of the city's Exhibit C1?
We are.
So this is Section J of the city's C1, the preliminary report, recommended conditions of approval. And the payment of the requisite statutory fees is number 1. And then we have number 2, we have a couple things from Tacoma Power. So it says Tacoma Power requests an easement be reserved over the entire width of the area proposed for vacation along the north side of South 23rd Street. That is, I presume, for existing power facilities. Is that correct, Mr. Stevens?
That is correct.
All right. And I guess I'll ask the petitioner about this when we get to the petitioner side. The bottom one, I want to make sure I'm reading this right. So the vacation area in the South Cushman Avenue right-of-way is a 2-foot wide strip. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Tacoma Power is asking that its easement cover the southerly
6 feet
in length of that 2-foot width.
That's correct.
Okay.
I pinned them down because I knew it was confusing as it was being proposed there for a while, so I finally got.
Well, it was still a little confusing in C1, yeah. But I thought I was getting it, but I wanted to make sure. I think that's my only question then. Based on the very limited testimony here, mostly in response to my questions, does the petitioner have any cross-examination questions for Mr. Stevens based on that?
No, we do not.
Good enough. So then I guess the city rests.
We do.
All right. So, Mr. Ferguson, are you planning on testifying here today?
Yeah, I could just give a quick explanation about why we're here.
Well, hang on. Let me swear you in. And if you'd raise your right hand on the screen, please. Do you swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give as part of this proceeding today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Go ahead, then.
Okay. We were hired by the owner who purchased this property and is looking to redevelop it into multiple apartments. Through our normal design processes, we submitted preliminary information through the scoping process with the city of Tacoma, which is fairly typical for us to identify what problems might exist for what the owner is trying to do. In that process, city staff outlined that they were concerned that the building might be encroaching on the right of way, which in our experience happens quite a lot with old buildings in Tacoma because people don't know where to build them with the technology that we have today. And we did some preliminary work to figure out if a survey was needed, and we could not verify without a survey that it wasn't encroaching. So the owner purchased a survey to walk down where the building was, and unfortunately, it was across the line. It was no fault of our owners. The owner has directed us to do nothing that would further inflame this situation. In fact, originally we wanted. Originally, we had planned that the front door of the back unit was going to be Cushman, but because we were already encroaching, that was impossible. So we adapted the design. We've been working with the city staff and the property services all the way through the line, making sure that we understood what their concerns were, their criteria was, and understanding if this was likely to be something that the city would support, and if you're aware that the city just wants to. Private property being a private property, and if that means that we need to sell some land and make that legal, then we clean it up and put. And that's the process that we're in right now. So we think everyone is acting in good faith. They've done everything within their power to take this one building of thousands and make it recurring. And that's where we're at today. So we're just hoping to put a bow on this and finish it up.
All right, so that answered some of the questions that I had for the petitioner. You know, my first question is going to be, if all we're doing is curing encroachments for an existing building, why has the petitioner employed an architect? I figured there was some sort of redevelopment that was going to happen with this. A few, couple more questions in that regard. Is the petitioner planning on using the existing building in the development?
It's currently under construction into a duplex.
Okay, so the existing building is going to remain, and so the encroachments were still going to continue to be a problem, and hence the vacation petition.
Correct. If we would have demolished the building, we would have had it built to current standards, and it couldn't even be located where it is. It would have had setbacks.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you're trying to maintain the legal non-conforming status of the existing building, cure the encroachments that the existing building is committing, I guess I'll say, repurposing the existing building into sort of multi, I guess it's multifamily. A duplex is still multifamily.
Yeah, it's technically, I can't remember if this was a building. Hey, was this an ADU?
This is an ADU, yeah.
Yeah, so the only way to do it, so in home to home, this wouldn't be necessary, but currently it's a single family neighborhood. So it's a primary residence with an attached ADU.
Okay. All right, and Mr. Stevens, still under oath, you are aware of all of the intentions here from the petitioner's side in the review process?
Yes.
Because I got to tell you, it didn't come through crystal clear from the city submissions. It looked like just curing encroachments for an existing use. But that's fine, as long as the city was aware of all that in its review process. Anything additional to add, Mr. Ferguson, then, for the petitioner's side?
I don't think so. I think the core important thing here is that everybody's trying to do the right thing and trying to get the property that was unconforming to something that's conforming.
All right, and still under oath, of course, the city's proposed conditions of approval with the retention of the easements in the two different areas, the petitioner is okay with those being retained as easements for utilities?
Yeah, there's the power meter is on that corner, and is it possible to build in that space anyway, so the easement does not limit the project in any way? We're not moving the building. So there's no concern on our side to have that.
All right, then. Any cross-examination questions from the city for Mr. Ferguson on the limited testimony?
Thank you for asking, Mr. Jenner, but no, I'm good.
All right. Well, still nobody with us in council chambers, and I still see the same names of participants without anybody waiting to get in and Zoom. So normally this would be the part where we would move to the public testimony portion of our hearing. We don't have anybody here to do that. So we will dispense with that. I failed to mention at the outset that as far as the last parts of the proceeding go, once the public testimony portion is done, there's usually an opportunity for both the city and the petitioner to offer some rebuttal testimony. And that is usually to address things that come up in public testimony. The city could use it to rebut things that come up in the petitioner's presentation, because that's just how the linear order goes. But Mr. Stevens, I'm guessing you don't have a whole lot to rebut because there wasn't a whole lot offered.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. I'm good.
All right. And Mr. Ferguson, I'm presuming there really isn't anything to rebut from the petitioner's side either, since there was no public testimony. All right, my mic is still on here.
You can still hear me, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, coming through there. Coming through my own mic. All right, the last order of business then is whether the parties want to offer formal closing statements or closing arguments. Mr. Stevens, are you wishing to make any closing statement on behalf of the city? Mr. Ferguson, how about for the petitioner?
Yep, I think we're good.
Geez, you know, we could have been done in about 15 minutes if we hadn't had all the technology problems here. I have nothing else to add except to say that I am not the decision maker in street vacation petitions. I am the city council's designated hearing officer under, I think it's RCW 3579, it's either 020 or 070. It allows the city council, who is the decision maker, to designate the conducting of the requisite public hearing on somebody else, and that somebody else is me. So I'm not the decision maker because street vacation petitions are considered a legislative action in the state of Washington, and I am not the city's duly elected legislature, but I am their duly designated hearing officer, so that's why I conduct the hearing today, and then I make a written recommendation to the city council that it uses in making its formal legislative decision at a duly convened Tuesday night city council meeting, date to be determined. I have 2 weeks to issue my recommendation on this. My guess is it'll be out in a week or less even. That written recommendation, once it issues, will go to the city council and we will schedule this on a date that works for both myself and for Mr. Stevens and for the petitioner. The petitioner is certainly entitled and encouraged to be there when its matter is heard by the city council. That will probably be scheduled for a meeting within a month's window from when the recommendation issues. Maybe sooner, who knows. So that's how the process works. To the extent that the petitioner or the city even does not like what's in my recommendation, there's a process by which that recommendation can be appealed. And I do the air quotes because it's not really an appeal, because it's not really a decision. Typically only decisions get appealed, but under TMC 170, my recommendation can be appealed. And what that does is give the appealing party the opportunity to be heard by council in a formal process before the council makes its recommendation. Before council makes its decision based on the recommendation having been formally forwarded. So that's really all the process that there is remaining at this point. Any questions from the parties or procedural matters before we go off the record and close?
I don't have anything.
All right. All right, good. Well, we got the head shakes on the video and we got the nose on the audio, so we're all good then. Thank you for your patience today with some technological struggles. Appreciate you being here. Thank you for the presentations, minimal though they were. I have those. I have them on the video and the audio, and I have the C1 through C15 corpus of exhibits that have been presented. Those comprise the record at this point. That will be what I review on the way to making my written recommendation with findings of fact and conclusions of law. To form the recommendation versus council. Council does not follow my recommendation. They typically do, although in nearly 6 years of doing this, they have not followed it at least once. But that wasn't a street vacation, that was something else. That was a reasons hearing, which happens like these street vacations do, and I'm not the decision maker. So I wish you all a good rest of your day, and look for the electronic version of that recommendation to be in your inboxes probably within a week's time, but no later than 2 weeks. Thank you again, and we will be off the record.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks.